بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد My beloved brothers, elders, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who by His infinite grace and mercy has blessed us with the wealth of Iman. May Allah Pak keep us with Iman. May Allah take us away from this world in the state of perfect Iman. And my beloved brothers, on the day of Qiyamah, may Allah ta'ala resurrect us with perfect Iman. All praise and thanks also due to Allah who has made us to be so fortunate and to include us in the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved brothers, this world is made of uncertainties. Healthy become sick. Rich got no guarantee. Youth turns to old age or death. Presidents become paupers. Heroes turn to zeros. What's there of certainty in this world? What is it of value, my beloved? The things that people take pride, these are the same things that disgraces a person. Those things on which we take security might be the things that work on us. Like how a friend of ours from Cape Town used to say very beautifully, used to say, Baie gaan vir die brood. Probably this is the first time Afrikaans is used on this member, but anyway. Say, Baie gaan vir die brood, dan kry hulle somme hulle dood. Many go for their bread instead to find themselves dead. You look at a man's shop, you say, how busy. And in 2 days, 3 days' time, his janazah is coming out of that shop. What's there of certainty on this earth? What's there in which a man can have hope? What is there on this earth on which a person can rely? Which a person can depend? This world has a unique way. Devious. It's exactly like an elephant. The tusk that it show and the teeth with which it chews are too different. Imagine the teeth of that big elephant is so weak that besides grass it can't even eat meat. But the tusk it shows is so vicious. What the dunya has, what it can do, is absolutely zero. And then it shows. Hi, Allahu Akbar. Khana Uzubillah, Muslim is saying, you know what? The hydrogen bomb can destroy the whole country. La ilaha illallah, who is Allah? If Allah decides death, who can give life? If Allah decides life, who can give death? If Allah decides to give somebody something, who can take it? If Allah decides not to give it, who can stop Allah? If the whole world gets together to protect, and Allah has decided harm, who can protect? And if the whole world decides to give life, and Allah decided dead, who can give life? Am I blood brothers? Does the Allah of ours, does the Allah of the whole world, does the Allah for which Allah has sent me and you to obey, and not only to obey, there's no more Nabi to come to this world. It is mine and your responsibility to take this name of Allah, to take the belief of Allah, the hope and the reliance and the dependence on Allah to every single human being, be black, white, rich, poor, man, woman. Otherwise, my beloved friends, less fortunate, my beloved brothers, wallahi, we'll be using Allah only for the sake of our dunya, like every kafir, Yahud, Nasara is using his religion just for the sake of his dunya. And we'll be reading our success in the light of dunya. And the things of dunya will make us happy. My beloved brothers, Sahaba Ikram Ridwan Najmain, Allahu Akbar Khabbab radiallahu anhu. Imagine Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stood up, said, Khabbab, you sit on my chair. Then afterwards he said to him, Khabbab, show me your back. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Wallah, I never ever saw a back like this before. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, the only other person I think who is worthy of this chair is Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu anhu. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu said, I don't think the punishment that I got, even Bilal got that. He said, imagine two slaves used to take me and chuck me on a fire and the pus, blood and sweat from my back is to turn off the fire. And yet when Islam spread, and obviously with the spread of Islam, wealth also came. And didn't come like my beloved brothers, from 0 to 1 million, or 0 to 10 million, or like on some articles now in the lockdown, somebody made so many millions. Not like that. Treasuries and treasuries came. And Khabbab radiallahu anhu, my beloved brothers, crying.
and saying, if this was good, why wasn't the time of Rasul alayhi salam? Wallah, it seems we are getting compensated in this world, and probably nothing will be left for us in the hereafter. Huh? They say, Allahu Akbar, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, can you imagine Islam spreading at the average of 200 kilometers per day? One on the Roman Empire side, and the other the Byzantine or the Persian Empire. The two so-called superpowers. And just go a little back. Now that is, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time was 12 and a half years. His Khilafat. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the equivalent of 2.5 years. 15. The entire period of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 23 years. In the last 10 years, that means the period of Madinah Munawwara, at the Battle of the Trenches, there's a boulder. Sahaba are making the trench. And they can't break that boulder. And then Nabi alayhi salam takes the axe and he hits this boulder and a spark comes out. And Nabi alayhi salam tells him, inshallah, inshallah, we'll conquer Rome. And we'll conquer Persia. They say the physical condition of Sahaba on that day was that they had stones fastened to their bellies. And Allah's Nabi alayhi salam is promising them the victory over the superpowers. Now besides Iman, my beloved brothers, what would anybody else say? Imagine a Sahabi is sitting there, and when Nabi alayhi salam said, we'll conquer Persia, the Sahabi says, oh Nabi Allah, when we conquer Persia, I want the princess's hand in marriage. I want her as my slave, rather. And Nabi alayhi salam tells him, you got her. To who? Speaking to people who got stones fastened on their bellies. Huh? Anyway, my beloved brothers, that day comes when the conquering of Persia takes place. And the Sahabi in one narration says, he sees on a white, beautiful mule, this princess coming, and he catches hold the reins of this mule. On the other one is when the distribution of the, what you call the booty was there, the Sahabi comes there and he says, that's mine. So another Sahabi, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, tell him, what's your proof? So another Sahabi says, I was there when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at the conquering of Persia, this is yours. What faith? In the words of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallah, today we got faith on what the kuffar in Yahud say. Tomorrow will be cold, we got faith on that. Tomorrow will be hot, we got faith on that. This sickness is coming, we got faith on that. This is happening, we got faith on that. The words of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who's the Sahabi? Allahu Akbar. They say when he takes her, so the royal family come, obviously by that time she was an old lady. So the royal family comes and says, you know what, we'll pay any price, but give her back. So the Sahabi, they ask him, how much you want? He say, give me 10 hundreds. Rashid, by 10 hundreds, how much? 1,000. So another Sahabi looks at him, he says, such a small amount, are you? You could take 1,000 times more. Look at the Sahabi of Rasul alayhi salam as regards this dunya. The Sahabi says, by the qasam of Allah, I didn't know there's an amount more than this. Those are the people who Nabi alayhi salam said, they're the guiding stars. Whomsoever you follow, by the qasam of Allah, you'll be successful. Those who had faith on what's called akhirat, not this dunya. False, deceptive, not worth the wing of a, not worth the, Allahu Akbar, wing of a mosquito. Allah has called it mataul ghurur, house of deception. Imagine Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time, that as I told you, my beloved brothers, in that little time, when that wealth came to the extent, it's not what he said, to the extent, that the whole of the backyard or the courtyard of Masjid Nabi alayhi salam could have been filled with gold. And the reaction of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is there. He's sitting behind the Mubarak Qabr of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and weeping like a baby. And somebody asked him why. He said, if this wealth was good, why wasn't it the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why wasn't it the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Ya Allah, you're testing me with this. And when it comes to the distribution, he gives everybody more and keeps the least for his children. So one of his sons tells him, oh father, it's not fair. So he tells his son, he says, my son, this is the thing that will separate father from son. This is the thing that will separate father from son. My beloved brothers, they knew. You see, in the period 12 and a half years of Umar radiallahu anhu's life, and wallah, there was not a single day in which he wore clothes with less than 12 to 13 patches. Their honor was something else. Their happiness was something else. But the qasam of Allah, what's an asset for a Muslim is a liability to a kafir. We are different. We are those who have believed in La ilaha illallah. Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, when the Sahaba are going to Persia, Allahu Akbar, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba decide how he will go. The Persians decide how they will entertain Sahaba. Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, that day dresses in virtual rags. Some say not even a sword, a broken sword. Some say not even a sword, a spear. A mule and a horse is too far. Came on a donkey. Now imagine who he's coming to. The so-called superpowers of the time. And look at this man dressed. And he comes right to the so-called checkpoint. And they check him up and down. And however they get the message, this is the way the man is dressed. Should we allow him to come or not? And the Sahabi is so confident, if you don't want me to come, he takes a little bit of sand. He says, I'm taking this now, I'm coming to take the rest. They were whose? They knew Allah is with them. Allah's Qudrat is with them. They didn't fight for the things that Kuffar, Yahud and Nasara fight. One of our elders said very beautifully, we forgot Jannat is our house. That's the first sin. Then instead of that, we forgot to take the whole of mankind to Jannat is our responsibility. And now Allah forgive us. We've put our hands on the Jannat of the Kafir. They are also in a state of Parishani and anxiety. We are also in a state of Parishani and anxiety. So Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu comes to the checkpoint. So after they say, please let him come, let him come. And obviously the Persians were na'uzu billah min zalik, like how they say, at that time they were full of arrogance and pride, that when na'uzu billah, they thought that the blood of Allah runs in their systems. That red carpet was known from that time. And the red carpet was laid out. And on the sides, silken brocaded pillows. And Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, as soon as the red carpet starts, climbs off the donkey, rides that donkey over those silken brocaded pillows and tears them into pieces, smotherings. Makes a hole in the red carpet. He wasn't making a hole in the carpet. He was making a hole in the hearts of the Persians. To say what you say is great is not. And he comes to that golden peacock throne in which the emperor sat. And he takes that donkey and fastens the string of that donkey to the handle of that golden peacock throne. And the king looks at him in the sight of dunya and he thinks, who's this beggar? So he asks him, is there anything that I can help you with? If there's any material that you need, the first camel or horse with its load would already have reached Medina Munawwara, and if they're following in a string, the last one will still be in Persia. And then Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu looks at him also as a beggar, but a beggar of a different nature. It's like how in Urdu it says nicely, he tells him, "Main aaya nahi hu, beja gaya hu. I've not come, I've been sent. I've not come, I've been sent to take you out of the slavery of mankind and to put you into the slavery of Allah. To take you out of the narrow confines of this world into the wideness of this world and the everlasting akhirat. To take you out of the injustice of kufr and shirk and to put you into the justice of Islam." Ulama ikram say, may Allah reward Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, who openly pronounced the objective of every single Muslim on the face of this earth. We've not come, we've been sent to die. And our job is to prepare every human being on this earth to prepare to die. Our responsibility of our sustenance. Allah Himself says, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا لَلَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, to the effect that there is not a single creature, 2 feet, 4 feet, the sea whale, or whether it's the elephant, but Allah says, His sustenance is my responsibility. Like in Urdu poet says, خُدَا كُو بُول گئے لوگ فِكَرِ رُوزِ مَي خِيَالِ رِزْقَ رَزَّاقَ خِيَال نَهِي. That's why an elder say, Allahu Akbar, one great waliullah say, who fears Jahannam, As much as he fears poverty, he's already a jannati. From small we taught our children, if you don't work, what's going to happen to you? If you don't get a degree, what's going to happen to you? If you don't do this, what's going to happen to you? Wallah, ask ourselves, how we have oppressed our children. Did we ever tell them, if you didn't make 5 times a day salah, what's going to happen to you? Today our masjids are less than 10% musallis. Have you ever looked up that the wrath of Allah is right above our heads? Or is it only the turnover and that piano that we are playing in the shop that is impressing us? Allah's Nabi alayhi salam said to the effect, Rozi ko khenchne wali cheez, the thing to draw your sustenance, the thing to draw your sustenance, what's that? Salah, 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 salah. A house without salah. A person comes to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi. He says, Hazrat, there's no barakat in my house. Hazrat tells him, put the parda, a hijab in front of your door. He does that. After a long while he comes, he says, Hazrat, I don't know what's the relation, but there's so much barakat. Hazrat, he asks, Hazrat, but what's the reason you asked me to put that hijab? Hazrat tells him, a person who doesn't make salah, we call a bay namazi, his gaze, his bad eye, his nazar fell into your house. Allah took the barakat out of your house. Today the bay namazi is living in the house. How can barakat ever come in that house? A Muslim without salah? Imagine in the time of Medina Munawwara, wallah, there wasn't a munafiq who was not in the masjid for 5 salawat jamaat. Today the mutawalli of the masjid is not for salah. One of our Shaykhul Hadith, my beloved brothers, Allahu Akbar, I'm not saying mutawalli, I'm not saying, wallah, whether tabliqi or alim or whatever, our great, one of our great, I don't want to take the name. He said, I went to one masjid. From my 20 students who qualified by me, I only found 5 of them for Fajr Salah. An ummah that wants Allah's help without Fajr Salah. They say when Bilal radiallahu anhu was kicked, and that heavy boulder was put on his chest, and he was kicked between his ribs, then one day Abu Jahl asked him a question. He said to him, oh Bilal, if your Allah is true, why isn't he helping you? I'm sure this question comes to us also. Why the Muslims are getting hiding? What's happening to the Muslims? What's Allah doing? Wa na'uzu billah. So you say Bilal radiallahu anhu gave an answer not to Abu Jahl. Instead he gave an answer for us till the day of Qiyamah. Bilal radiallahu anhu answered, my Allah wants to see if I am true. Kalima without effort? That la ilaha illallah. Imagine Allah addresses Sahaba in Quran. Those who, oh my beloved Nabi alayhi salam, tell those who came into Islam later, they've only as yet entered into Iman. They've not entered into Islam, astaghfirullah. They've not as yet entered into Iman. Wallah, distance 5 fingers. From the mouth to the heart, only 5 fingers. But a destination Allah knows nobody. Knows at that minute whether we are going with Iman or not. The efforts of shaitan, 1% in our entire lifetime, 99% at the time of death. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi is leaving the world. He's saying, not as yet, not as yet, not as yet. Abi nahi, abi nahi, abi nahi. His son tells him, oh father, this is the time to recite kalima. He says, my son, shaitan is telling me, you beat me. I'm telling him, not as yet, not as yet, not as yet, not as yet. See, now Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, imagine my beloved brothers, who Nabi alayhi salam said, if he walks on the right, shaitan walks on the left. He says, so many ayats of Quran were revealed on the opinion of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, yet, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed by a majus, and he's lying there, in the last, the son takes his head and puts it on his lap. Umar radiallahu anhu pushes his back, his head back into the sand and says, my son, this head is not fit for your lap. Go, my son, go into the haram, and see today if sahaba are happy that a bad man is leaving. then Allah will treat me how they think of me. And if Sahaba are weeping and crying that a good man is leaving, then inshallah I'm hoping from Allah, Allah will treat me how Sahaba think of me. And I ask you for one small request, probably the greatest sacrifice a woman ever gave in the annals of Islam, that when you go to the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, when you pass there, ask her if she'll allow me, not prime property. They say, Jannat is in Medina, but Rosa Mubarak will never find in Jannat also. If she'll allow me to sleep next to her husband, Rasul-e Khuda sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and next to her father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, they go there. And when he asks, Aisha radiallahu anha burst into tears. And she says, your father is allowed. When Umar radiallahu anha enters the haram, you can imagine the state of Sahaba. Crying, who's leaving the world? Allahu Akbar. Abbas radiallahu anha joins him to come back and tell his father. And Abbas radiallahu anha says, oh Umar, Nabi alayhi salam said this about you. And Nabi alayhi salam said that about you. And Umar radiallahu anha is sobbing. And all Umar radiallahu anha is saying, hi Abbas, if on the day of Qiyamah you can stand guarantee for me, then I know I'll be okay. Those personalities feared. Today this worry has come out of our hearts, my beloved brothers. You see, Harun al-Rashid met Behlul. So when he met Behlul, he told him, Behlul was a strange person. He was a buzuruk of a different kind, never cared what he wore. Allahu Akbar, if he looked very unimpressive. We might think he was a beggar sleeping outside. And he looked at him and he told him, you know what, Bahlul, he has a stick. If ever you meet somebody who's more stupid than you, give him the stick. Anyway, 1 year passed, 2 years passed, 3 years passed, many, many years passed. And Harun al-Rashid was on his deathbed. Bahlul came there. Bahlul asked him, Harun, have you prepared your palace? He said, where? He said, where are you going now? And Harun al-Rashid was a good man, pious man. He started weeping. He said, what about those streams? What about the vineyards? What about this? And as he's saying, Harun al-Rashid is sobbing. Harun al-Rashid is sobbing. And then eventually, Behlul took out the stick and said, Harun, I traveled the whole world. I have to admit, I never found anybody as stupid as you. Take back the stick. Intelligent is not a doctor or lawyer, an alim or a hafiz. Intelligent is only that one who prepares for his death and remembers his death. That is not what I say. That is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allahu Akbar. The most intelligent person is that one who prepares for his death. And preparing for death is not what we are doing. Walking backwards to our qabr. Is my wife okay? Is my child okay? Is my house okay? Is the property investment for them okay? Wallah, preparing for death is what? When we go, did we prepare such people who'll send something for us so that we can be okay? That real life. Huda ki qasam. When Nabi alayhi salam spoke on Jannat, what he said? Such a place which no eye has seen, no ear has heard of, no mind can think, no heart can desire. What can be that place? And when Nabi alayhi salam said, such a place where youth will never ever become old, where health will never fail, where wealth, wallah, is there one wealthy person here who hasn't got the fear that his wealth will diminish? Where wealth will never come to an end. Allahu Akbar. Such a place where desires are fulfilled. Allahu Akbar. And it is said, my beloved brothers, of to all the namats of Jannat, Allah will ask, oh my slave, is there anything else that you want? And the slaves will ask the learned ulama ikram. And the ulama will say, ask for the pleasure of Allah. And Allah will make an announcement. Oh my slaves, from today I'm happy with you. And I'll never, ever, ever be sad with you. They say, all the pleasures of Jannat will never match that statement of Allah. We are there. It's a day or two. Days too long. Wallah, my beloved brothers, it's just a day or two. Who knows who's going next? What are we preparing for? Where's our worry? Where's our heart? A sahabi comes to Rasul alayhi salam. He says, I don't desire to die. Nabi alayhi salam tells him, what have you got? He says, such, such. He says, send it to the bank of Allah. Sahaba was sahaba. After that he came, he said, oh Nabi Allah, I gave it. Alhamdulillah, I desire to be where my things are. That's our place. Dunya is not for us. Allah's Nabi alayhi salam said, dunya is the prison for a mu'min, the jannat of a kafir. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his worry, his pain. Khuda ki qasam, my beloved brothers. Allahu Akbar, what a pain. Hi, what a pain. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say, give everyone death. Then Allah will command Malik al-Maut, who's left? Malik al-Maut will say, it's only me and you. Allah will say, you also die. Then everybody will be dead. Then Allah will announce, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, whose kingdom today? And Allah himself will answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْكَحَارِ, only that one Allah. And then Allah will give Muhammad alayhi salam life again. And as if dusting sand off his head, the first thing our Nabi alayhi salam will ask, where is my ummah? Where is my ummah? Anas radiallahu anhu asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my beloved, if I look for you on the day of Qiyamah, where will I find you? He said, you'll find me at three places. One is at the Hawza Kawthar, when my thirsty ummah, I'll be giving them that water with my hands. The other will be at the scale of deeds. If their bad deeds exceed their good deeds, I'll lend my hand to the side of their good deeds so that their bad deeds fly up. And at the Pool Sirat, a distance of 1,500 years, sharper than a blade, thinner than a hair. And when my ummah will be falling towards the hellfire, I'll be holding them and putting them towards Jannah. My brothers, Allah has given us this deed. Let's not be so foolish to sacrifice this dunya for this deed. To sacrifice this akhirat for this dunya. Look at our homes, look at our children. Start the talib at home. Make an environment of salah. Make our families used to masjid. Like how we are for Jummah, let us be here for every salah. Let's get Allah on our side. Allah doesn't need a stick, nor does He need the West to destroy us. Allah can destroy us with one depression. Remember, Allah is in control. Let's make friends with Allah. Somebody said, I feel distant from Allah. The pious man asked him, who distanced himself? Did Allah distance himself from you? Or you have you distanced yourself from Allah? Allah is so great with this alayn, my beloved brothers. Allahu Akbar. The doors of Allah's mercy are so open. I came from a certain town. And in that town there was a person who had bad habits. What we say, sharabi, kababi, so forth and so forth. And one Jummah Allah put in his heart. He went to the persons in charge of the masjid, he said, please give me water, I want to take a ghusl. And the people said, this water is not good for you. A friend was standing on the side, he took him home, he had a bath, he came back. He made his Jummah. Something Allah loved. In less than 2 weeks' time, Allah took him to Baytullah. Either Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat, somewhere there. Allah took his ruh. He sent a message to those people before he died. He said, your water wasn't good for me, but Allah's water was good for me. That is the door that is open from that maker. In fact, the bigger the gunegar, when he asks tawbah, Allah does not forgive. Instead, Allah forgives. And on the forgiveness, Allah replaces it with virtue. Can there be a kinder Allah than this? Isn't it our responsibility? Dawud alayhi salam asked Allah, ya Allah, how can I become your beloved? Allah said, you make others my beloved. You will be my beloved. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Let's make a niyat, all of us brothers. Our five salah with jamaat in the masjid at any cost. Daily Quran tilawat, little bit zikrullah. Little talim at home. Make this environment. Allah help us all inshallah.